is golden. Under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Talk on this March 15th, 2023. I'm Nana, and for the next 2 hours, we'll be hosting an online interactive study of God's Word. Our goals for this study are in accord with Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As well as Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together. Please do not just blindly accept what you hear on this study or anywhere else, but rather, in accord with 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Our expectation is that discussing the scriptures will lead to growth in grace, knowledge, and in the fruits of the Spirit for all who have a hearing ear. If these studies provoke listeners to open their Bibles and prove all things, then we have accomplished our mission. We encourage you to follow along with your Bibles and actively participate in the studies. You can call in or email your comments and questions. Our call-in number is 512-646-1984, and we'll open the phone lines in the fourth segment of this hour. If you would like copies of our articles and study notes, email us at scripturetalk@email.com. That's scripturetalk@email.com. And if you like the content on LogosRadioNetwork.com, our website does have a donate button. Please consider making a donation so we can continue to bring you the truth on a variety of subjects. And if you would like to revisit our past studies, just go to LogosRadioNetwork.com and click on the Archives and Podcast link. And before we get started, we want to make sure we give thanks to our Heavenly Father for this opportunity to discuss His Word. Special thanks to Deborah at LogosRadioNetwork.com for this time slot, and very special thanks to our guests tonight, Karen and Carol. How are you guys doing?
We're very glad to be here. Thank you.
Glad to have you back. And just to recap, last week, Jeff was with us. We started Luke chapter 3. We covered the first 20 verses. And then our topic for last week was incense and spices in the New Testament. And tonight with Karen and Carol, we're going to finish up Luke chapter 3 and get into a little bit of Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. And then our topic for tonight is absolute surrender, part 2. And then next week, Ken returns. We'll continue our studies in Luke chapter 4, covering verses 14 to 30. And our topic for next week is our Lord's memorial. So at this point, Karen, can I ask you to ask a blessing on our studies for tonight?
Dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we thank you for this night together, and we ask that you overrule our discussion and open our ears and eyes, as well as those who might be listening now or in the future, that we all might get a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. So Luke chapter 3, we're going to finish this up. Last week with Luke, we talked about basically, this was John the Baptist, and he's out in the wilderness, and he's preparing the way for the Lord, and talking about, the salvation, that all flesh shall see the salvation of God, and then all these people come to him to be baptized, including scribes and Pharisees, which he calls generation of vipers. And others come to him, and he says, you know, produce the fruits worthy of repentance. And because there was something that they were really just there kind of for show. They didn't really believe. It didn't seem like they believed. So the tax collectors came and said, what do we have to do? You know, the crowd said, well, what should we do? And, you know, John answered them about repenting and exacting nothing more than what they have to, and, you know, being good people, not cheating, not lying, not stealing. And then, he mentions Jesus, that he's not worthy to, loose his feet, that he will baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then the separation, it talks about the separation of the wheat and the chaff. And then it talks about, Herod shutting up John in prison. So, with that, why don't we read the rest of chapter 3, verses 21 to 38. And most of this is genealogy. And then we'll read chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. So, Carol, would you like to read King James Version of our verses tonight?
Very well. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, verse 21 starting. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Manahat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Janna, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Amos, which was the son of Nahum, which was the son of Esli, which was the son of Nege, which was the son of Maath, which was the son of Maathias, which was the son of Semi, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joanna, which was the son of Resa, which was the son of Zerubbabel, which was the son of Salathiel, which was the son of Neri, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Adai, which was the son of Kosam, which was the son of Elmadon, which was the son of Er, which was the son of Joes, which was the son of Eleazar, which was the son of Joram, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Simeon, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Jonan, which was the son of Eliakim, which was the son of Maliah, which was the son of Menon, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David, which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, which was the son of Salmon, which was the son of Nashon, which was the son of Amminadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Esrom, which was the son of Phares, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Terah, which was the son of Nahor, which was the son of Serug, which was the son of Rago, which was the son of Phelech, which was the son of Heber, which was the son of Selah, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Arphaxad, which was the son of Shem, which was the son of Noah, which was the son of Lamech, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Melilo, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the Son of God. Thank you.
That was great. Congratulations. All right. So, obviously, most of this is the genealogy, and it only the first couple verses covered Jesus' baptism. And we'll ask Karen if you can read the King James Version of the Luke 4, 1-13 scriptures, just so we get those in.
Okay. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The devil taketh him up, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto them, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season.
All right. So pretty much our reading has taken us up till, you know, we've got 1 minute before the break. Let me just read the first couple verses of Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22 before we get into the genealogy. And this is from the Rotherham Version. And it says, Now it came to pass when one and all the people were immersed, Jesus also, having been immersed and being at prayer, heaven was opened. And when the Holy Spirit descended in bodily appearance as a dove upon him, and a voice out of heaven came, Thou art my Son, the Beloved, in thee I delight. So, obviously a miraculous display at Jesus' baptism. But just before this, John was, you know, baptizing all these in the wilderness and trying to get them to have some fruits of repentance. And then Jesus comes, and we only have a quick verse in Luke, but we're heading into a break, so stay tuned for more. We'll be right back.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness.
So before the break, we read our verses in King James Version, and we just read a couple verses 21 and 22 of Luke chapter 3. In the Rotherham Version of Jesus being baptized. And the parallel account in Matthew is Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 13 to 17. And this gives us a little bit more detail of Jesus' baptism. And before we go, any comments on what we've read so far? Karen, Carol.
No comment.
I do. Sorry, I had to.
So Luke is the only one that mentions Jesus being at prayer. And you know, some of the comments are, so he comes up out of the water, and it's as he's leaving the water, or that the Spirit descends on him as a dove. Or some say immediately as he came out of the water. Now, whether he's coming up from being baptized or walking out of the water.
Okay, so say so what's
I made it more confusing than it was, right?
Yeah.
So he was praying. The other accounts don't say that he was praying. So it's an answer to prayer that the Holy Spirit came upon him. We'll just say it that way.
Okay, that makes sense. So in the Matthew account, you know, Jesus goes to be baptized of John, and John's like, no, well, I can't baptize you. Why are you coming to me? You know, and Jesus kind of, you know, said, hey, I need you to do this. So he does it, and then, you know, mentions the Holy Spirit and the voice from heaven. So, you know, and this is all picture, and we know that John was 6 months older than Jesus, so John started his ministry 6 months before making the way for Jesus. And then at 30 years old, Jesus is now himself baptized. The Holy Spirit, he received the Holy Spirit, which this is a first. And, of course, as we'll read later on, then he goes out into the wilderness. But, all right, so any other thoughts on that before we get into the genealogy?
Just wanted to say about Thou Art My Beloved Son. Also, we find that back in Psalm 2. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for an inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession.
Nice. Okay. All right. Let's move on to the genealogy, which we won't make you read again, Carol. But it's interesting that, you know, this is the genealogy from Jesus all the way back to Adam. And it gives a specific line. It does go through David, but it goes through Nathan after David. And then when you look at and compare the genealogy in Matthew, that genealogy only goes, it starts with Abraham and then goes down, and it goes through David, but it goes through Solomon after David. So you have two different genealogies after David. And what are your thoughts on that?
Can I read your favorite version, the TPT?
Sure.
So it combines, it does it really nicely. It combines 23 to 38, but I won't read it all. Jesus, assumed to be Joseph's son, was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. Here are the names of Mary's ancestors from her father, traced all the way back to Adam. And then it goes Eli and so forth. So the TPT makes the corrections that all the commentaries say this is Mary's line. But they use her father, and they have to go through Joseph because the genealogies are usually traced through the men.
Okay, so which one is Mary's line? The one
this
in
one
Matthew?
No, this one.
Okay. All right, and that's what I've seen in the commentaries as well, that so Mary's goes through Nathan, as recorded in Luke, and Joseph goes through Solomon. Is that correct?
Yes, and what's also interesting, in the Matthew account,
the women are mentioned, Ruth, Rahab, and Tamara, where there's only men mentioned in this genealogy.
Okay, so, and we know, you know, Joseph was so-called father, but he wasn't genetically Jesus' father. So it did have to come through, so Mary had to come through David as well. And we know that the, you know, from Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, which is referring to Jesus, will bruise the serpent's head. But it includes Joseph's line here as well, just as in case there was any doubt.
And when Carol was reading the King James in some of the names, let me scroll back. She read, now I can't find it. But in this account, it's Zerubbabel and Shealtiel. We read about them in there when they came back from captivity. Zerubbabel was the governor, and I think that's in like Nehemiah and Ezra.
Okay, yeah, and I did see Zerubbabel in there. And we've got a couple minutes before the break. So, and it's just interesting to me that, okay, on Joseph's side, the one that's depicted in the Matthew account, that it comes from Solomon through Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, which I just find that strange, that given that union was, you know, plagued with difficulties, that Joseph's line would come through that Solomon would be king, and that the, you know, with Jesus' line theoretically would come through that. But any thoughts on that?
Just one thought. You know, we know when we get through Solomon's line and all the kings, that there were good kings and there were really bad kings. But Nathan not actually being a king, and his progenitors wouldn't have those same temptations to be very bad. So it's probably a better line over.
Okay. Any thoughts, Carol?
My thoughts are eluding me. I do remember something about it not going through direct Solomon. I just have lost it.
Okay. Well, we're heading into a break, and then we'll come back and we'll move on to our chapter 4 in Luke. So stay tuned for more. We'll be right back. The King James Version, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. And Karen, you read that earlier, right? Can you get that again?
Yes. You want me to read the whole thing again?
Yeah, the first 13 verses.
Okay. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he was afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written,
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels a charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season.
All right, so we'll read the first couple verses. I've got the Rotherham here. Do either of you have any other translations that you like?
I always have the TPT, but I haven't read it in this context.
All right, I'll read in the Rotherham. So Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And Jesus, full of Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in the Spirit in the desert. 40 days, being tempted by the adversary, he did eat nothing in those days. And when they were concluded, he hungered. All right, so the Holy Spirit led Jesus out to the wilderness for 40 days. And he had nothing to eat for those 40 days. What do you think he was doing for those 40 days?
Praying. But actually, I do have some other versions that give a thought that I wasn't, I didn't remember or I never thought. I'll read in the Weymouth and the ERV. Tempted, this is just for verse 2, tempted all the while by the devil, during those 40 days he ate nothing, and at the close of them he suffered from hunger. In the ERV, there the devil tempted Jesus for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing during this time, and when it was finished, he was very hungry. So we had always thought or always been taught that it was at the end of the 40 days that Satan came to him. Now, some of this commentary said, yes, he was tempted throughout the 40 days, but the temptations that were coming to were at the end of the forty days. But he was bothering him all the time over.
All right. So you think there are other temptations during the 40 days, and these ones that are mentioned here in these verses came at the end?
That's what some of the commentaries suggest.
Okay. And that, you know, and that would make sense. I mean, because at this point, the adversary, he's got to derail Jesus. Otherwise, his whole existence is in question. So if he doesn't derail Jesus, and what better time to do that than, you know, when he's weak and he's in a weak state, but he was only weak physically. And so the Spirit led him out to the wilderness. You said he was praying. I'm sure he was meditating. I'm sure he was getting a download from God above of, you know, his plan and the knowledge of the scriptures, which he had seemed to have anyway as a child. But he was probably getting, more spiritual information and had that direct line of communication with the Heavenly Father. And for Satan to try and interfere with that seems, pretty bold.
And there's also the thought that he was now having to deal with memories. He was there for most of all of it. And that those memories were shut up to him until this time. And so then
everything would be flooded into him. And when it's like somebody who's had amnesia and all of a sudden gets their memory back to put all the pieces together. Over.
All right. So you don't think he had any inkling before this time of his existence with God before this?
We know it when he was 12, he knew God was his father and he's about his business. But did he remember he was there for the creation of Adam? Did he remember all these other things that he was there for, meeting Abraham and you know, just all the history that went on before and the time, the personal time with God in heaven?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're not told any of that. We're not told what he knew or when he knew it. Yeah, but it's interesting. And, you know, we've got a few minutes before the non-break. Let me just read verses 3 and 4 in the Rotherham.
Okay, and I think Carol had a comment.
All right, let me just read these and then we'll go to her, Carol. And the adversary said to him, "If thou art God's son, speak unto the stone that it become bread." And Jesus made answer unto him, "It is written, not on bread alone shall man live." So, Carol, you had a comment?
Well, not really, but here where it says Satan is saying, if that should be since he knew very well who Jesus was. And as far as thinking about how much he was bothered in the 40 days, I'm not convinced, because this is special time with God, giving him all this information and everything. And when you think that Moses was in the mountain for 40 days, and he didn't eat or drink, and it was all God to Moses. And then, of course, we have Elijah spent 40 days. Again, he ate. He had two feedings before he went on that journey, but he went on that journey with no food after that. So, but Jesus, yeah, they would be weak at the end. But yeah, I'm just having a little trouble thinking that for the full 40 days he would have been bothered. Thank you.
It's interesting. And again, we're told of these three temptations, but we're not told exactly when they happened or if there were any more than these three. But it does seem logical to me that there would have been a hedge of protection around Jesus at this time, specifically so that he could receive the information the Holy Spirit was trying to download. Whatever, you know, what he was to do, his ministry, you know, the calling of the disciples, and up to his death on the cross. So I'm guessing, again, it's pure speculation on my part, but did all that information get downloaded to him while he was in this 40 days in the wilderness? And wouldn't God have protected that, and then the temptations may have come after that when he was severely weakened in the flesh? But anyway, this is coming up on break time, so we'll take a little break, and then we'll be right back to finish up our verses.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with JurisDictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. JurisDictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. you'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
And we're back in business here. So this is our last segment, and we're going to finish up our Luke scripture. So we're talking about Jesus, his baptism, going out in the wilderness for 40 days, and we talked about the first temptation where the adversary says to him, if you're God's son, then speak into the stone that it becomes bread, because Jesus was hungry after 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. And and then we had a discussion of whether these temptations came all at the end or if he was being tempted throughout the 40 days. I like the thought that it was at the end, but again, we're not really given a thus saith the Lord on that. So any other final thoughts before we continue reading?
Just one interesting thing, the commentary said that they're in different order here in Luke than they are in Matthew. The last two are switched, because when he says, Satan, get thee behind me, it says that was when Satan left.
Okay, and that probably makes sense as well. All right, so let's read verses 5-8 in the Rotherham. And leading him up, he showed him all the kingdoms of the inhabited earth in a moment of time. And the adversary said to him, unto thee will I give this authority altogether and their glory, because unto me hath it been delivered up, and to whomsoever I please I will give it. Thou therefore, if thou wilt worship before me, it shall all be thine. And answering, Jesus said to him, it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and unto him alone render divine service. So, all these kingdoms of the world, Satan had been given, and he was willing to give those to Jesus if Jesus would just worship him. But hey, guess what? Jesus was going to get those anyway if he remained faithful to God. So, what are your thoughts here?
Well, one of the temptations was, so Jesus, you don't have to go through all the suffering and die. You can just, you know, follow me and I'll give you whatever you want. But if he followed Satan's advice, and as Carol was saying, that since you are the Son of God, and most of the commentaries understand that he wasn't expressing a doubt on who Jesus was. He wanted him to display who he was. But if Jesus didn't follow God's prescribed plan, mankind would not be redeemed. He would just have control, like many of the churches who've gone the way of accepting Satan's
temptation here, they get a little bit of power this age, but it doesn't go beyond that over.
Well, and his rule over these kingdoms would have been temporary, because as the soul sinneth, it shall die. So if Jesus sinned against God, he would be under a death penalty as well. And so his reign over these kingdoms would end with his death as a man at this point. And, you know, there wouldn't be a resurrection for him. But you're right, as he, you know, because he remained faithful to God, not only did he gain life for himself, the spiritual life, after his death as a man, but also life for the world of mankind, for all that were born in Adam. And, yeah, he would not have been able to accomplish that had he turned against God and followed Satan. Carol, any thoughts?
So we know elsewhere it says that Satan is the god of this world, and here he's telling us he is the god of this world. So we have two witnesses here. And I think that these three things here where he tried to get Jesus, this is for us to know, too, that when we are weak, Satan will attack us, and he'll come after things. We all have an Achilles heel. He knows what to come after with us.